people say some wacky things, but what I heard this woman say, and then my husband like locked eyes with me and was like, did you hear that? It for some reason was so awkward and disturbing. I can't get it out of my head.
Was she talking to you?
No, she was talking. We were walking through a mall and we were cutting through a very expensive department store. And it's a department store that truthfully, like, we don't shop at regularly. It's like a very special occasion department store.
You don't want to name it for whatever reason. You're fearful of their power, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's Neiman Marcus. Like, okay. I'll name it. It's just, if you've never been in a Neiman Marcus, it's expensive. But we were cutting through to go to a different floor that in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It was the end of the hallway. They had a stairway to go down. Perfect. So we're walking through the purse section down to the stairs. And there's a woman. And I hear her say, well, we're incredibly wealthy, so that seems fine. And I was like, she has to be kidding me. So I look at Paul and my husband, and he looks right back at me, and he's like, did she just say we're incredibly wealthy? I go, yes. And all I kept thinking was, who says that? Who says, well, we're incredibly wealthy, so that's fine? Who says that?
Well, I would imagine that it's not the type of thing that you come right out and say right away, but I would imagine, if I could place myself in the shoes of somebody that is incredibly wealthy, after you say it the first time, it feels good to kind of start saying it all the time. I don't know where that woman said it first, but wherever she said it first, she said to herself, yeah, right after she said it. And now she says it elsewhere.
How much money do you think you have to be incredibly wealthy?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, there's two answers for that, too. So to say it anywhere would be one number, right? To be able to say it in any room in the presence of any person anywhere would have to be one number.
But like
to say it at Neiman Marcus, I mean, I think it's probably a less, you know, large number.
I guess like I actually can't even fathom it. But like I'm thinking like, is incredibly wealthy like you have $1 million in the bank?
No. Incredibly wealthy now at the mall in that store, probably 15 plus, 18 plus is what I'm thinking.
$18 million?
$18 million plus, you're incredibly wealthy.
I'm incredibly mediocre, subpar to the average American.
Now, any other room where you could be saying I'm incredibly wealthy in front of anybody. I mean, this involves, you know, the most powerful, richest people on the planet. Gosh, you got to be worth like a couple hundred mil nowadays to be incredibly wealthy.
I wonder what she does. I wonder what her family does. Is it old money? Is it new money?
I'm guessing she does very little.
You think?
Yes.
If you're saying you're incredibly wealthy, you probably don't have a job.
Right.
Right?
Because you would have more merit for the actual value of the currency. If you're just bragging about it to somebody in the purse section, like that's not necessary, right? You wouldn't do that if you were working.
Man, I wish I had follow-up questions for her. I would love to have sat down and interviewed her.
I wish that while you sat down and interviewed her, I snatched her purse.
Goosefava. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Mouth taping is trending big time. And it's when you tape your mouth so you have a better night's sleep. I had never heard of it before until it started trending on TikTok, and I've learned so much about it. Here's the woman on TikTok discussing it. Why these people have to talk so fast, I'll never understand, but they all do it.
Let's talk about why you should be taping your mouth shut every single night before you go to bed. Breathing through your mouth contributes to a host of issues, including bad breath, gum disease, cavities, brain fog, and a weakened immune system. There are so many more, and most people, myself included, breathe through their mouths at night.
Is there a limit on the time that they can put on videos on TikTok? Is that why these people are talking super fast?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think like you have 60 seconds, so you have to. But I thought they extended it. I don't want to get into that.
Right.
I want to get into mouth taping.
Okay.
So when she said this, I go, wait a minute. Is mouth taping an actual thing? So I Googled it, and it is, because so many people breathe through their mouth. That's why you have like dragon breath in the morning and why you have all these issues. And it has a lot to do with snoring, too.
I mean, that's why I have toothbrush and toothpaste, though, too, right?
But think about all the things that you inhale through your mouth at night, right? The dust and the dander.
And that spider rumor.
Yep.
Right.
She continues at a very fast rate.
Taping your mouth shut before bed completely prevents that. I'm not kidding. You will have the best sleep of your entire life. I can no longer sleep without it, but I do have to remind you, please get actual mouth tape. Don't just put regular tape on your mouth.
So then I went to Amazon and I looked up mouth tape.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. You're serious?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It ranges from like $8.99 to $23.99.
Does it look different than other tapes that you've seen before?
I think it's just more gentle. Now, here's the thing. Raven and I tried this last night. We didn't know that there was mouth tape, so we just used regular scotch tape.
Right.
This was me with my daughter before bed.
Why is your mouth taped?
It's going to help me sleep. When your mouth is taped at night, you have to breathe through your nose, and it helps you have a better night's sleep. It's called mouth taping.
You're going to get zits, and then you're going to suffocate.
I'm not. Maybe I might. Or I might have the greatest night's sleep of my life. It said to do it on TikTok.
Don't follow what TikTok says. Even I know that.
Says the girl that's always on TikTok.
Right.
Now, you also had the tape with your wife, and this is how it went.
Mm. Hey, we're going to try an experiment tonight, okay?
Okay.
Well, right there, I'd be like, what?
She was so afraid when I said experiment in bed and had the phone out. She was like, wait a minute, what?
Right. Uh-huh.
What? She's like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're supposed to tape your mouth shut to sleep. It's supposed to help you sleep better.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
No, I'm going to tape mine shut.
Oh, please, do. Maybe you won't snore.
You think it would affect snoring?
I don't know. When I cover your mouth, sometimes you stop snoring, so...
I like the fact that she just openly admits to trying to kill you at night.
Right.
Yeah.
And thinks that it's fine.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really going to do that? It's ridiculous. You're going to rip your skin off.
Very good option.
I don't think you're doing it right. I can still hear you.
It's a good option. Might be good for my skin.
So I don't even know what you're saying at the end.
I thought it was very relaxing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How did you last?
Like 10 minutes. I mean, seriously, the mouth taping thing, there's people that are saying that they can't sleep without mouth tape nowadays. Those people are crazy.
Well, there's the other side that says you shouldn't be mouth taping because you can suffocate.
Oh.
If you throw up at night, you'll die.
Oh, great.
That kind of thing. But I lasted, I would say, like, I fell asleep for a good 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, with the tape shut, and it was fine. And then I woke up, and it just felt so weird. I'm like, no, I need to go to bed. And I, like, just ripped it off my face. But maybe if we bought the mouth tape, it would work? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's an investment you do and I don't. Mm.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that's driving you crazy right now? It'll feel so good to just get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Kim.
Well, when you come up to the grocery store and there's cars parked in the fire lane because they didn't want to park in a parking spot, and so they just sit there at the door in the fire lane, my pet peeve. It just drives me crazy.
Me too.
When anybody pulls up anywhere and just sits there, like, if you're somewhere where there's not a lot of car traffic, you know, grocery store, obviously not a good example because there's a ton of car traffic coming through all the time. But if you're sitting anywhere, like a regular place, for longer than 5 minutes, like, you're a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
You think just because you put your hazards on, it means, like, you could do what you want?
Right.
That's not what hazards are for.
Right. No, hazards immediately says, I'm entitled. Rules don't apply to me. Don't you know that about hazard lights?
The only time you should have your hazards on light is if there is something that has happened and you're pulled over. It's the only time.
You might be right. Samantha, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those people at the restaurant who asks the waiter or the waitress to change the temperature, like, if you're too hot or too cold, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, unless it's really uncomfortable. If it's really uncomfortable, like if it's ridiculously uncomfortable, I don't know.
Am I the only one that brings a sweater and a sweatshirt every restaurant? One for me, one for my daughter, and one for my youngest daughter, too.
Oh, my gosh.
All the time. I always do. It's going to be cold in the restaurant. It's going to be cold. Bring a sweater.
I'd rather be cold than hot, that's for sure. I can withstand a little bit of chilly temperatures until it gets down to, like, bone aching or whatever. I'm not the person that walks in and immediately complains, though. If I walk in and it feels like your air conditioning's broken, guess what? I'm not sitting down. I'm turning around. I'm walking back out.
Let me tell you something from somebody that owns, my family owns restaurants. We say yes, but we never actually do it.
Right. Right. We'll turn it down. Yeah, we'll turn it down.
We'll turn it up because the table next to you is complaining the exact opposite. You can't win in those situations.
Yeah.
Andrew, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those people that just throws a sandwich into a cooler just so it can soak up all the ice and whatever, that's all I need to know about you.
In my cooler, I have regular ice and then I've got clean ice. I always keep clean ice because you know I'm making drinks. Somebody that just throws that sandwich right inside on top of the cooler, we're going to have a problem. You and me.
Don't you just feel like every sandwich that gets put into a cooler immediately gets soggy?
Just turns into some sort of sponge.
Yes.
With mayonnaise.
Right.
Sad. More attractive than a regular sponge still to stick in your mouth, but sad.
I've tried everything. Everything my mom taught me. First, you put the parchment paper, then you wrap it in foil, then you put it in a Ziploc bag. I do all of those things. And then the minute I take it out thinking that I have secured it by three different layers, still, I'll bite into it. I'll be like, nope, this tastes disgusting.
Oh, no, no, no. You got to do the lettuce-meat ratio. Remember, I told you, my wife has a theory on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, what Raven's wife does is she puts the meat in between the lettuce because the lettuce acts as a barrier.
That's right.
But I don't think it helps the bread situation.
I mean, it works for me. I don't know.
This conversation went a lot longer than I thought it was going to about the bread. Usually when people send emails complaining, we don't read them on the air. But this one is fantastic.
Yeah, usually what would happen is we read an email, we talk about it here in the studio a little bit. One of us might get fired up. We might both get fired up. And then Anna will send a very nice worded email back sometimes.
But this one didn't come in about us. This is what makes it so much better.
Right.
So here's the email that was sent to our station manager. I listen to your station all the time. I love it, especially the Anna and Raven show. High five!
Nice.
Boom!
Boom, that's exactly why we're going to read it now.
Yep. I was very upset to hear another jock, I won't say who it was, story a few minutes ago about how she's keeping a spider that she caught in her home under a clear container until it dies from starvation. Now, keep in mind, we did not hear this break. We didn't hear it.
I actually did. I was
did
in
you?
The car at the time, and I heard it. I don't know why we're not going to say her name, but either way, I thought it was pretty clever to tell you the truth. I mean, it was just this little tidbit about how she saw a spider and she put it under a jar and she thought it would be dead the next day, and it wasn't.
Yeah, this is horrible and unnecessary cruelty to that spider, she writes. It is easy to slide a hard, thin mailer under the cup, shake it outside, not from a high height. I guess spiders can't. I don't know. Okay.
I guess they would fall.
I have no idea.
Break a leg.
Supposedly. They have eight of them, right?
And they grow back. Continue.
All right. Spiders eat bugs and go about their business not looking to attack people. That is all I need to know about her. And then she continues, please encourage her to show that she can rise above her ignorance about the other creatures in the world, show consideration and kindness.
I mean, the closing is really the thing that did it for me. That when that was read aloud in a meeting, I want to thank somebody for taking the time to write this letter. I mean, it's very thoughtful and it's good that you care about the life of other creatures. I heard the joke. It was like, I thought the next day the spider would be dead, and then I read somewhere online that they can live without oxygen and food for up to 3 months. So I'll let you know how it goes in 3 months. It was a joke.
But you want to know what?
What?
I don't kill spiders in my house. I take them, and I put them outside. I get them in the toilet paper. I secure them in the toilet paper.
Here we go.
And then I scream until I get it outside, and then I throw it into the yard. But do you know why I do that?
Because you're a wonderful person, and you do it for the good of America, I guess, and someday you're going to be president. Is that why? I'm Anna Zapp, and I don't kill spiders that are in my house.
No, because my mom taught me that spiders bring money.
And so now you were greedy.
So I'm just... So if you kill a spider in your house, that means you're not going to have any money.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, where do you Italian people come up with this stuff? I mean, this is absolutely insane.
I mean, nobody else has heard that their entire lives like I have. Producer Sean agrees with me.
You know what? Yeah, I'm a advocate for spiders.
Because
I like
of
spiders.
The money?
No.
Oh.
They're good. They're good for, like, you know, like bugs and pesky other bugs in your house. And, like, I'm the type of person, if I see, like, a little web in the corner, I talk to it like it's a dog. I'm like, oh, look at you up there protecting me.
Instead
from
of
mosquitoes.
Dusting.
Dust your house.
Right. Instead of removing the cobwebs, that's what you do.
I'm going to let them sit up there.
Oh, my God.
My protectors.
What do you do when you see a spider in your house, Raven?
I mean, first off, I never see it until my wife screams and then tells me I immediately have to remove it. And I kill it. I mean, that's what I have to do. It's in my house. And I've got to kill it.
Terrible.
For some reason, my shower is upstairs, right?
Okay.
The last, I would say three times in the last week, for some reason, it's ironic this came up, there was a spider in the shower. And I want you to imagine me capturing it with the toilet paper soaking wet with a towel wrapped around me.
And then walking it to your back door like a hero?
Yes.
Oh, let me cue the music again here.
You know what? But you know how much money I'm going to have one day from saving all these spiders? So much. So much.
I hope that's how it works out.
One of the things you'll see fill your feed over the next few weeks is back to school photos. But there is a safe and not safe way to do it. Lena Derhali is a psychotherapist, social media expert, and the author of The Facebook Narcissist. Lena, I feel like this is so commonplace over the years that people don't even think of it as being not safe, but it is.
Well, you know, I think in general, there's a lot of guidelines parents need to know when they think about posting anything about their children online. But I think there's some shocking reasons that a lot of people aren't aware of why they shouldn't be posting specific information on their back to school photos.
You know, it's funny that you say specific, Lena, because, you know, more that I think about it, right, they've become more and more elaborate. Some people, they have like the fake frames, or it's almost like a slate for a movie shoot or whatever. And on that, it'll be like, here's my name. Here's how old I am. This is my school. This is my teacher. That kind of information, like, that's very revealing.
It is. And, you know, I think one of the things that people don't realize is there's instances where investigators and child protection services regularly seize images of children in collections that these sex offenders have. And some of these offenders go to great lengths to gain access to children to groom them. And sometimes this grooming starts with photos parents have shared about their children online. And that's why we say this identifying information can be pretty dangerous if you're given really specific things, you know, like the name of the school, the name of the teacher, even something like a favorite color. You may not be aware, but there's predators out there who are looking at those things and use that sense of familiarity to get, you know, comfortable with children. And they'll go to great lengths to do it.
One of the things I thought was surprising to me and was kind of eye-opening was you take a picture and you don't even think anything of it, but you're not looking that, like, your house is in the background. So
sure.
Now you've identified your home also. Or if, like, my kids go to schools that are private schools, so they wear uniforms, if they have the name of the school on the shirt, like little things like that, that you just think all you see is your baby boy or your baby girl's big smiling face, but it's all those little clues that are helping these bad people do terrible things.
And your childlike interests, the things that we find so cute about the kids that we know, it can be used to start that conversation. That's terrifying about the color. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. And, you know, law enforcement experts and who are specifically experts in online safety really stress this about those private school uniforms and taking pictures in front of the school. Make sure your geotagging and location sharing is turned off because people can have access to, you know, where you and your children are. Don't advertise daily routines. You know, also, like, people who may be able to access your information are also looking at your daily routines, your walk to the park or the specific school.
I feel like I'm just not smart enough. I should just stop posting, right? I feel like all the little things like that you don't even know. Like, I didn't realize that when you clicked on a picture, if somebody posts a picture, like, there's a way that you can see where it was taken,
right,
exactly at what time. Like,
so that geo-tracking, does that mean we have to, like, turn off, like, GPS and stuff like that on our phones? Or is it, like, a photo setting?
Online, they have instructions for how you can turn all this stuff off, you know, double-checking your privacy settings, just lock them down as much as you can. I think you can post safely about your children if you want to do that. Just be very careful about who you're sharing the information with.
All right, all good advice. Lena Derhali, she's a psychotherapist, social media expert, and she's the author of the book, The Facebook Narcissist. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Wild stuff happens on the boat. You take a boat out, everything seems all right, then there's a problem.
Every single time. Every single time, that's the way it works. So my kid has got a boat. It's like his third boat now at this point. And usually the first couple boats is like you have no idea what's going on with the boats. You're going to figure out, you know, the problems that you're going to have that are going to come up and whatnot. By the third boat, you pretty much have it dialed in. He does. He's got a nice boat. He bought a big boat. It's like, I don't know, 30-something feet.
Wow.
It's got a massive motor on it. It is the loudest boat on the river. I'll tell you right now. We went out this past weekend. I mean, the thing was like standing straight up and down. And I don't know how fast we were going, but it was fast. Really nice boat. Ran great all day. And then, of course, towards the end of the day, we're getting ready to pull in the port. And it pops some oil line or something like that. Oil all over the back of the inside once you open it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I figured out about being on the water. If you pop your top, like the engine compartment on your boat, within 2 minutes, I swear we had people coming by going, you guys good? You good? You good?
Boat people are really nice.
Seem to be.
Yeah, I've never owned a boat, but I always rent boats when I go on vacation and stuff like that. Well, pontoons. I love pontoons.
I know.
I love pontoons more than any person should love a pontoon.
There's nothing that Anna wants more than a vehicle that will allow her to drink excessively on top of water.
But be stable.
Right.
It's a deck boat.
I mean, it depends on who's driving it, but okay.
But every time you pass other people, everybody waves. Everybody waves
it's
on
true.
Boats. They all say hello. My neighbors don't wave to me. But the stranger on the boat that's 500 yards away, they're going to wave.
My wife couldn't stop talking about how nice everybody was on the water. And then I said, you know, inherently, she's like, wow, if people were just like this in traffic, I was like, well, here's the difference. Out here, boat traffic is a lot different than car traffic. Like, there's just a lot less people out here on the water. But I'm telling you, within 90 seconds, I mean, there was a guy pulled up on a jet ski. He's like, you guys good? And then we got towed in by another boat.
Wow.
A super fancy boat. The guy just showed up. He's like, I never towed a boat before. He's like, you guys need a tow? And Jordan was like, sure. And they had like the same sport boat. And he like towed us in. It was like super nice of them.
Yeah, things happen on the boat.
Yeah, it's true. $3 part will take you out. Luckily, the boat didn't explode or anything like that. You know, you're drinking, you're in the sun. So, you know, again, weird things can take place on the boat.
One time I was on a casino boat off the coast of South Carolina. We were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been on a casino boat before, and it was different. It was definitely different than what I had anticipated. But somebody had stolen money and then jumped overboard.
Oh my god!
Overboard. So I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but they asked everybody to go outside to the deck area.
Yeah.
So I had to leave my spot at the blackjack table and go. And they put like the lights on because it was nighttime.
Yeah.
And we all had to go look for the guy that jumped overboard to swim to shore.
It's kind of scary. Were they trying to recoup their money or make sure the man didn't actually drown?
I think they were trying to recoup their money. I'm not sure.
Seems wrong.
But it was pretty close to shore. So like I was thinking, you know what? If I jumped out far enough, I could swim to that shore.
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't that far at
Currents
all.
Currents and things, they scare me. But
spoiler alert. We didn't catch the guy.
You know? We think he's alive, but we didn't catch him.
No, right. I think they did catch him like later on that night, the police on land. Raven got towed on a boat this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that would be embarrassing for anybody else. I don't own the boat. It was my kid's boat. Boaters are really nice. They were happy to tow us. No big deal.
Wacky things happen, though. What happened when you were on the boat? 1-800-330-9999. So you had rented a boat to take a romantic double date sail out to an island. And then what happened?
We sailed over. These guys knew nothing about boats, and I had been sailing for a while. We dragged the boat up on the shore, went for a walk around the island, and it suddenly dawned on me that the tide was coming up. So we raced back around the back side of the island, and the boat was gone. It was drifting back to shore.
Oh.
And we were stuck on the stupid island, and it was the most embarrassing thing because I was trying to impress this girl. And luckily, her other friend, the friend that she brought, was very attractive and had a small bikini on. So she went running down the beach kind of screaming, and some jet ski guy came by, picked her up, and she saved the day by bringing the boat back. Really but we were stuck on the island, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So, now, when she's, like, the date of your friend, but she then is asked for her phone number by the jet ski hero guy, you almost have to kind of...
She got picked up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you almost have to say to your friend, listen, man, I'm sorry, but, you know...
She belongs to him now.
Right. Right, he earned it.
Exactly.
He earned it.
My buddy was so excited. My buddy who I brought was so excited for the double date, and then I totally screwed him over because she ended up getting picked up by the jet ski guy. And then my girlfriend got upset because I was like a moron and forgot there was a tide. So I would like the doghouse. It was a complete disaster. So we pretty much sailed home in silence, the four of us. It was not a good day.
Stuff happens on the boat, man. It always happens.
Yeah. And for the record, she doesn't belong to anybody. Not that guy, not the jet ski guy, anyone.
Your words.
That's true.
Nobody's words but your own. No, thank you very much.
I could already see the emails.
Julia, what happened on the boat?
I was taking a selfie with all of my girlfriends. We had rented a pontoon for the day. And when I went to take the selfie, I literally dropped my phone right into the water.
Those pontoon people be getting crazy. They be partying.
I love that.
Anna's like, Anna would love to own a pontoon.
It's my dream. It's my dream to own a pontoon.
It's such a small dream. Like, you can make that dream happen.
I don't want that. Like, it's too expensive. And then where are you going to put it? And it costs a lot. They always say, like, it always seems like a good idea to have a boat. But then once you have it, it's really difficult and expensive. You know.
The best boat is a friend's boat. Pontoon people be getting crazy, though. They're partying. The music's all loud. The drinks are flowing. There's a whole lot of it. It's like a dance floor out there.
The ones that have the slide from the top deck. Yes. I mean, sign me up all day for that. Like, oh. But, right, taking a selfie, like, I could understand, like, after a couple of White Claws.
You hit that wake, and boom, phone's right out of your hand.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, selfie.
Brent, what happened on the boat?
I was actually tubing. My friends were making some crazy moves, cutting in and out with the boat. And I wound up flying off of the tube and dislocating my right shoulder.
Oh, no.
That was fun. Yeah.
It could be worse, though.
Nope.
Yeah, I've heard of accidents worse than that. Those things scare me, but they are fun.
I won't go in it.
Oh, no?
No, we rent one every year with the pontoon, oddly enough. I'll never, ever go on them because I think it's so terrifying. Like, to hold on for dear life.
Uh-huh.
Paul, my husband, he's the guy that's got the one hand up like he's riding some kind of, like, Bronco. Or, like, I don't know what he thinks he's doing on that thing. But I'm afraid. And then one of the little girls, one of my daughter's friends, she was 13 years old. Last year, she got stung by a jellyfish when she was on the tube.
Oh, wow.
So she was screaming for us to stop, but you can't hear. You just think she's screaming because she's having the time of her life.
Right.
Meanwhile, she's blowing up with all red dots all over her body.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Oh, my God.
Lots of things happen when you're on a boat. What happened to you? Raven got stuck this past week and had to get towed in his boat.
It's funny. As soon as the boat broke down and had a problem, my kid was like, no, don't worry. It's going to be no problem. And within 90 seconds, people were pulling up going, you guys good? Offering to pull a tow? Do you need a quart of oil? Boaters are very, very friendly. But it also told me that breakdowns happen all the time. Stuff happens on the boat, Anna.
Lily, what happened to you on the boat?
So our dog pooped. Boat. We rescued like a new pup and took her on the boat, and she's a good swimmer and everything. And then all of a sudden she pooped on the boat on the way home.
If they could do it while they were swimming, I guess that would be fantastic. I guess I never thought about that when bringing a dog on the boat. And funny thing, my wife has said to me, oh, I think the dogs would like a boat. Now I'm not so sure.
I mean, where are they going to go if they have to go? They don't know to go in the water. It's so weird.
I'm thinking that dogs poop on boats with some sort of regularity.
Somebody has to know what happens. There's always dogs on boats. Like, somebody has to know how to do that and what you're supposed to do, right?
Well, now we make her go before we go on the boat.
Well, that makes the most sense, right?
I mean, but it's like, you just never know. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes we're taking a walk. He'll go twice on the same walk.
Oh, Lila, too. Sometimes it'll be three times.
It's
how long have you been holding that in? Days?
Right.
Mason, what went wrong on the boat?
Well, we pre-partied too hard before our holiday party on a riverboat, and I was joking around with a coworker who gave me a jab to the stomach, which kind of churned some things around, and I wound up throwing up in the life preserver rack. Lifted the lid, threw up, and I don't know when they found it, but it was not good.
What?
That is terrible.
I mean, there's a whole side. Just go over the side. Why would you go anywhere in the boat?
Everybody sees you, though. Everybody sees you.
Oh,
I was in the middle. The middle of the boat.
Oh, my gosh. This is disgusting.
It always seems like a good idea until you're on there, right? You're up. You're ready. You're raring to go. You know, your vibe is good. And then that thing starts rocking just a little bit too much. Now you're questioning the crab cakes, the finger sandwiches that you had. Everything's wrong here.
That's why I can't have any cocktails at amusement parks, because I know that if I go on that pirate ship, it's not going to end well.
It's over.
Yep. Sadie, what went wrong on the boat?
Basically, my husband and I went on a boat by ourselves. My husband said, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. I know exactly what to do. But then we were stranded on a sandbar for 8 hours until the tide came back.
Took me an hour and a half to get back to the beach at Sandals in one of those little sailboats. No sandbar necessary. Sometimes the wind doesn't cooperate. Sometimes the world is against you. In this case, it was a sandbar.
Hold on. Let's talk about when you got stuck in the ocean at Sandals. You stayed in like one area off the coast for an hour and a half because you didn't know how to get anyone's attention to get you back in. Never once were you on this catamaran, this small catamaran, and say, let me put on my life vest, get behind it, and just kick like a kickboard and bring it back in.
No, there's a lot of sharks in the Bahamas. It's a very healthy ocean. No thanks.
How far would you go to save an animal? I mean, we're animal lovers, and I would go pretty far, but I was shocked when one of my good girlfriends, Rita, did this because I was like, you're putting everybody in danger. You don't even know if the turtle is actually in any danger.
Real peril.
Yeah, real peril.
Right,
yes.
You just didn't want to say danger three words after you had already said danger.
It's 100%. So listen,
it's a funny
what
radio thing.
Tell me what you would have done in this situation. Rita lives in Naples. Florida, and she was on the phone with me. We were talking, and she's like, oh, hold on. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I hear her putting like her blinker on, her hazards, and she's pulling over. I go, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. She's like, there's just a turtle on the side of the road. I have to save it. I go, what?
She's like, oh, hold on. Like the third time this week.
No, she tells me she does this all the time. So there was a turtle that she said was, it looked like it was stuck on the curb. It was like half up on the curb, yeah. Half down on the curb.
Yeah.
She pulls the car over. She gets out of the car in traffic, right? She gets the turtle, and there's a pond nearby, and she goes and she drops the turtle into the pond.
There's always a pond or an intercoastal somewhere around.
And the turtle sinks directly to the bottom. So she gets in the car. She gets back in the car. She goes, well, I think I saved the turtle, but I put it in the water, and it didn't swim. It just sunk to the bottom. I go, did you just kill a turtle? Is that what you just did? And she's like, no, it'll swim. She's like, but it's weird because it didn't swim. I go, how do you know that a turtle can swim? I don't know.
If all turtles swim, like maybe it was a tortoise. Like it's hot in Florida, obviously. So
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was saying to her, I go, what are you doing stopping traffic, pulling over to do that? I mean, I understand you're an animal lover. We all are. And I hate to say it, that if there's like a dog that you see, you always stop to help.
Sure.
But if it's a turtle on the side of the road, are you really going to put yourself in that danger to save the turtle?
Well, it's a slight difference. I mean, the dog is domesticated, right? You have a feeling that it belongs to somebody. And if not, you can find it a home or whatever. Plus, it might respond. If you call to the dog, it might come to you. Mm-hmm. Whereas a turtle, he's not going to come to you if you call a turtle. You get out of your car and you're like, turtle! Turtle! He's not going to come to you. And you don't know. I mean, it might bite you or something. I mean, you get the same danger with a dog, but you feel like you'll know, you know, more than that. I wouldn't pick up a raccoon who looked like it needed my help.
Well,
you know?
It doesn't matter the type of animal, because she immediately started giving me a hard time. She's like, you're not going to save the turtle. And I'm like, I don't know if I get out of the car to save the turtle.
A python, an alligator.
Definitely not.
Right. I mean, any of those things. Right.
But then we started having the conversation of, did she just kill the turtle? Like, I go, why didn't you just put it on the side of the road? It figured out how to get to the side of the road. Once you get it off the curb so it has access to all four of its legs,
yeah.
It can go wherever it wants.
I mean, very good point. It found its way there somehow, right? Unless somebody just, you know, ditched that turtle somewhere.
Yeah. So let's do a quick poll. Text 1-800-330-9999. You see a turtle in peril on the side of the road. Do you stop the car to actually save the turtle? And coming up next, Jim Knox is an animal expert at the zoo. And what should you do in this situation if you see an animal on the side of the road that needs help? My friend tried to save a turtle on the side of the street, and now she's afraid she killed it.
Oh, that's always good.
Did she? Jim Knox is the curator of education at the Beardsley Zoo. So, Jim, my friend Rita, I'm on the phone with her. She puts me on hold, pulls over her car in traffic because she sees a turtle that she thinks is in distress that's stuck on like a sidewalk. She gets the turtle. She goes and she puts it in a pond, and then she panics because she thinks that this turtle's sunk to the bottom and it can't swim, and now she killed the turtle when she was just trying to save its life.
Oh, no.
All right. Twofold question. One.
Okay.
Should you be pulling over in traffic to save turtles on the side of the street?
First answer, no, you shouldn't. And I'll tell you why. You got to be really careful. You got to, you know, take care of yourself first, because people drive really fast. And they're probably not seeing the turtle you're stopping for, and you can get hurt. But if you are able to pull over and put your flashers on and guide the turtle, under certain cases you can, but certain turtles bite back. They don't know you're trying to help them.
She's lucky she didn't get bit by a turtle.
It's tricky. Yeah, it's really tricky. So I do it, and I'm a total hypocrite, but most people shouldn't do it. You just got to wish them well. I tell everybody, wish them well, don't get hurt.
So I once had a turtle that popped up in my yard, but it was like some sort of alligator, like little snapper turtle or something like that.
Yep.
And we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. There was no water anywhere around. Then we surmised that maybe a bird had dropped it. Like somebody had like picked it up and dropped it, because I mean, for him to walk across my yard would have taken, like, all day.
Yeah, absolutely, Raven. You know, those guys, the female snapping turtles, they can lay their eggs a half mile or more from water, from their water source.
Wow.
So the little guys have a real trek getting back to water. If you look on the map, we're almost all of us within about a mile of water. We got water all over the state, even in a drought. So those little guys pop up in the craziest places. I've seen them in supermarket parking lots, all over the place.
So when she thought that she was bringing the turtle back to its home by dropping it into the pond, she says that it sunk to the bottom. Now,
I know, oh boy.
Does that mean that this turtle could not swim and it was dead, or is that what they do?
Right. We realize we've ignored all your professional advice to get to this point already. But now that we're already there, arrived there, how could we have done better?
Okay. All right. So without seeing the species of turtle, without knowing what type we're talking about, it's an educated guess. I'll tell you what I think. Most of the turtles that we have here in the U.S., almost all of them are really good swimmers. And some are passable swimmers, and those are the box turtles. And you have multiple species of box turtles in Florida. So even a box turtle can swim. Now, if they feel they don't swim well, but they can make it across small bodies of water easily. If they feel threatened or they're just being cautious, they may retract and they may sink to the bottom. But don't worry, even box turtles can hold their breath for 30 minutes or more. Okay. They can hold their breath on the bottom, and when the coast is clear, they pop up and they swim off to the shore.
Oh, she's going to be so relieved, because when I told her she killed that turtle, she was so upset about it.
I feel I'm bummed for her, but I have a strong suspicion that turtle's fine. And if she ever wants to, you guys know how to contact me. If she's got a photo of that little guy, I can give her a little peace of mind. Just send it my way.
All right. Sounds
beautiful.
Good.
Right. Beautiful. Set him up with a nice apartment or something. Yeah. Right. Knows exactly where he should go.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Mark and Caroline. Caroline, what's going on?
Mark is being asked by one of his best friends. He's a groomsman for his wedding, and the groom is asking him to pay for his bachelor's party. And I think this is absolutely ridiculous, because Mark has already paid for, they had this party where, like, all of the attendees pay to go to the party. He's having everyone pitch in money for a Jeep and for their honeymoon. And I just think it's ridiculous. Like, he has to pay for something himself.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So I'm following you here. There was a stag or a Jack and Jill, it sounds like, a party where everybody had to pay to go.
Yes.
And they want people to help pay for a Jeep and a honeymoon? Mark, what's going on here?
Yeah, so, you know, it's my boy. You know, it's his first wedding, hopefully the only wedding. And he wants us, you know, the guys to all pay for the bachelor party, pay for his airfare and his trip to Vegas. So, you know, all the guys, we just kind of agreed we're going to do it. So I don't see what the big problem is here. He's just getting, you know, get married once. So he wants us to treat him for this.
All right, hold on.
I don't see the issue.
You could register for a Jeep, because if I didn't know that.
Apparently.
How do you do that?
I mean, I think that you can register, like, for Jeep itself or, like, Chevy, and it's like people almost buying you a gift card, right?
Exactly.
And it's basically the same thing for the honeymoon.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, $300 at this point, when you're already paying for a honeymoon and a Jeep, what's another $300 from your buddies?
Exactly.
I mean, it sounds crazy on the surface, but I think that this is just how a lot of people handle things now, right? Instead of doing a registry where you're like, oh, we need towels, or we need this, or we need that, just, you know, these are the things that we're actually trying to save up for. People kind of pay into that. It might rub people wrong, but on the other hand, I mean, it's all going the same way. You choose an amount, you give what you feel is appropriate, right? So if you give $100 or $200 towards this car or honeymoon or whatever, that's just like, you know, putting a regular card out there in the box at the wedding. So I don't have a problem with that. I've never been asked to pay for somebody else's bachelor party, but a good friend, I would have no problem doing it. I'm a guy. I don't have to buy a bridesmaid's dress. I got to rent a tux, something like that. It's a little bit less responsibility.
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you. What's another $300 at this point? You're a groomsman. It's part of their special day. Okay. But they may see Caroline's point, too. At what point do you draw the line? He had a stag party, which is supposed to be raising money for the couple.
Sure.
He's asking for money for a Jeep, which I'd never heard of before, and it's amazing.
I'm sure it's a nice Jeep.
And now he wants people to pay for their honeymoon, too? Like, what? I mean, it's not a handout. It's a wedding.
Yeah, that's true. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's expensive when you're part of a wedding party. It really is. But are they just getting taken advantage of? Mark is a groomsman in one of his buddies' weddings, but they have registered for the honeymoon, They registered for money towards Jeep. What? I didn't even know you could do that.
Right.
All right. And now, he already had a stag party. Now he's having a bachelor party. The bachelor party is a destination. They're going to Las Vegas. And he wants all the groomsmen to chip in $300 each to cover his travel costs.
You know, when I look at it as a groomsman, my job's pretty easy. I just got to pick up the tux at the right time, stand where they tell me, you know, walk in with whoever they say. So the $300 isn't really all that bad to me. The gifts are regular. But, you know, this is a thing. And I think that some people are really getting sick of it is that nowadays, when somebody has a life event, we just put up a GoFundMe or something like that, and we expect everybody else in the world to pay for it. And whereas, you know, many of us, we paid for these things ourselves before.
Caroline, Mark's wife, is very upset and says, no, you're not paying $300 more. Like, they have to pay for something. It's their wedding. They can't just expect everybody else to pay for it. What do you think about this? Looking at our text line, I'm with the wife. His friend is really taking advantage of him. What's next? He's going to ask his friends to help pay his mortgage? I mean, it's true.
Where does it end?
I mean, he asked for a Jeep. Now he wants a trip to Vegas. He already had a stag party.
People are happy to help people celebrate, but when it feels like you're always looking for a handout.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. At this point, would you just pitch in the $300 for the trip to Vegas? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. At what point, when you're part of a bridal party, do you say to the bride or groom, that's enough. I can't afford to spend any more money.
Mm. It's a tricky thing because the problem is that you usually don't figure that out till you're all the way in it, right? You've already been spending money before more expensive show up and you're like, this is just getting out of hand at that point.
Mark is part of he's a groomsman in his buddy's wedding. The bride and groom have already registered for a Jeep, which FYI, I didn't know you could do. Mm-hmm. Their honeymoon. He had a stag party, a big stag party, but the close group of groomsmen are now going to Vegas and the groom has asked each of the groomsmen to chip in $300 to cover his travel expenses.
Well, I think when you put together a bachelor party, right, the best man or whoever is going to come up with a plan for it. And if that person, you know, initializes the idea or the groom brings it up to them, then they're going to ask. $300 each spread out over a group of guys should give him all the money he needs. I probably would do it, but I mean, I guess you have trepidations about the fact that more money could be added to that, too.
Right. Caroline, his wife, says that's enough. Like, we keep spending money on these people. He can pay for his own trip. We just had a stag party for him. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side because, you know, weddings these days have become ridiculous. Everybody wants to compete and have the bigger wedding and put it on Facebook. And it really becomes exhausting. You know, people are doing three-day weddings and destination weddings, and, you know, it's become such a competition. It takes away from what the day is about.
It just becomes very expensive, too. You know, you want to celebrate your friends. Of course you do, and your family members. But, like, every time you hear about it, you're like, oh, my gosh, how much is this going to cost me? And that's not cool anymore.
Hey, you want to do big things. You need big dollars.
Looking at our text line at 1-800-330-9999. They write, I don't understand why wedding people expect everyone to pay for everything. What happened to just going out to dinner one night with your friends and that's your bachelor party? If you want to go to Vegas, pay for yourself.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
I don't think the groomsman should be paying, should be making his friends pay for his trips. That should be, it's all complimentary space. You know, that's his party. He should have them have fun with it. It should be all free. You know, there's no reason for him for his friends to pay for it.
You know, I was always raised that if you can't afford something, you shouldn't plan for it, right? You have to make the plan of how you're going to pay for something that you want to do before you actually plan to do it.
Looking at our text line again, and Anna Maria texted, my daughter was in a wedding party. You pay for the dress, you pay for the bridal gift, and you pay for the bachelorette party. They went to Nashville and everybody chipped in for the bride. It's commonplace. So maybe it is just commonplace now.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Caroline, our audience agreed with you. When is it going to end? First, it's $300 for the airfare and the hotel. Next thing you know, it's going to be covering food costs and entertainment costs. And I mean, there's got to be some kind of stipulation going into it.
Exactly. I mean, I know when they get to Vegas, it's just going to keep adding up. And they're going to end up spending so much money. It's going to be like $1,000, honestly, by the time they finish. I know these guys. Always what happens.
Well, Mark, sounds like you've got a lie because you're going to spend that money if every other guy in that group tells you to. But best of luck trying to explain that you're not allowed to.
You got it. It's going to be a big problem.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $100 thanks to DoorDash. Shine bright this summer with Dash Pass by DoorDash. Get more member-only perks and discounts than ever before. Sign up now for promo code ORDER50 for 50% off your first order up to $15 value. Hi, Julia?
Yes, hi.
Hi, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure, good luck, Julia.
All right, so Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, Nicole Kidman has signed a deal with AMC Theaters to be their spokesperson for welcoming people back to the movies. Nicole Kidman is married to what country music artist?
Keith Urban.
Number two, Chris Pratt has stated that he doesn't like being called Chris, but prefers either Pratt or CP after being named one of the Hollywood Chrises. Which Hollywood Chris plays Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
Number three, Kung Fu Panda 4 is expected to be released in theaters in 2024. Who famously voices Po in Kung Fu Panda?
Jack Black.
Number four, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg are reportedly working on new music together. They post a picture in the recording studio. What is Eminem's real name?
I don't remember.
And number five, a remake of The Wizard of Oz is coming and is being directed by Blackish creator Kenya Barris. What author wrote The Wizard of Oz?
I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Wave, wave, wave.
Yo.
All right, 3 out of 5 for Julia.
All right, Julia, not terrible. $100. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Nicole Kidman has signed a deal with AMC Theaters to be their spokesperson for welcoming people back to the movies.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman is married to what country music artist?
Keith Urban. They're so in love.
Number two, Chris Pratt has stated he doesn't like being called Chris, but prefers either Pratt or CP after being named one of the Hollywood Chrises.
Okay.
Which Hollywood Chris plays Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
Number three, Kung Fu Panda 4 is expected to be released in theaters in 2024. Who famously voices Po in Kung Fu Panda?
That's Jack Black.
You guys are tied at 3. Number four, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg are reportedly working on new music together. They posted a picture in the recording studio. What is Eminem's real name?
He's Marshall Mathers.
Yes. And number five, a remake of The Wizard of Oz is coming and being directed by Blackish creator Kenya Barris. What author wrote The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I definitely should know this. Stephen King.
No, Stephen King did not write The Wizard of Oz.
He wrote everything.
L. Frank Baum.
Okay.
You wouldn't have known that.
Frank Baum.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Julia. Word. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay, sounds great. It's Julia and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow, Anna.
And remember, if you want to sign up to play too, head to annaandraven.com. Click on Can't Beat Raven.